Hello and welcome to Live from the Dark Room. My name is Andy Henderson. So glad you're here, and I'm so glad that we get to sit down and chat with Marissa Pilcher today. We're going to talk a little bit about being our own worst critic, and we're also going to talk a little bit about the comparison game that we seem to play as photographers. Before we get into it, you can follow Marissa at Marissa Pilcher on Instagram. You can also follow our show at The Dark Room Pod on Instagram as well. So, without further ado, let's just get into the show. Welcome to Live from the Dark Room. Today, I'm thrilled to be talking with Marissa Pilcher. Marissa is a social media manager and photographer, and I can't wait to get into our discussion today. We're going to be talking a little bit about being your own worst critic, the unhealthy comparison game among photographers. And Marissa, thank you for being on the podcast.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I am so excited. Marissa, we met in college. We both took the same photography classes. I feel like typically we just sit together and like make fun of the same things.
Yes, but what you don't know is that actually I remembered you from before class because I thought you were so cool. Honest to goodness, I had heard that you had been to photography like school in New York and had been this like big time photographer, had done all these cool things. You dropped out of college and then had gone to this photography school. And hearing about this cool person who's into photography, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Andy Henderson, like iconic name. And then I remember meeting you outside of a building at our university, and like you were the most chill, like nice person. And I was like, this is the coolest guy ever. So that's how I remember first meeting you. Not to be weird, but I was like, this guy is so nice.
No, I just want to go back to what you said, though, because like none of those things about me were true, though. Like I never went to New York. I never went to photography school. I mean, I moved to New York much later, like after I graduated from college. But what? I'm just so confused because I don't think I've ever heard those things. Like that was a rumor.
Knowing you now, I'm like, I know now that you didn't go to school there and everything, but that was the rumor. That was word on the street, which obviously got, messed up a little bit in the details, but literally no joke, had heard that you'd been to photography school in New York. And anyway,
wow.
I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what your personality would be like. But anyway, you were really nice. And I guess it was the next semester that we started photography classes together and just ended up like you were already knew what you were doing. And I had no idea, but you were like the most funny person in that class. So that was a good class, though. I feel like we had like good people in that class.
100%. I feel like that was a really good way to bond too, because we were in a very large photography class together, and then we ended up being in a very small photography class together later on. So I'm really excited to get into what we're going to be talking about today, but before we get into that, I want to ask you a question I ask everybody at the beginning of each podcast. If you could only use one lens for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
For sure it would be a 24-70, only because I like the range to be able to shoot something wide and then something up close. That has a lot to do with, you know, the jobs I've been in. It's not just all been portrait photography or all, more journalistic landscape shots. It's always had to have been both. So, for sure, 24-70, you get, like I said, you get the landscape, a bigger landscape, or, more up-close portrait, so.
Definitely. Super, super versatile. And I think it's really interesting what you mentioned. Like, you decided that was going to be the one that you would choose for that question because of all of the jobs that you've had and the variety of things that you've had to cover in those jobs. So I kind of want you to talk a little bit about your story and experience as a photographer, but I also don't want to discount the really wide variety of things that you do and have done. So can you first just tell me a little bit about how you got into photography, but also tell me where it's taken you and how you use photography now with what you do.
Yeah, so I am actually the first person who connected me to the photography world was a previous guest that you've had, Alex Blankenship. We were both in the same major in college, and in this major you have to take there's a few different options, but one of the options being you have to take a semester of helping the yearbook or doing photo for the school or online media. So there's some different options, but I chose photography and had never shot with a camera before ever. And once I started that class, I got connected to Alex, and there was one weekend that we just went and shot around the tiny town that our school's in. So yeah, that was the first time I started photography, or even just started taking photos. Shortly after, I got involved with my school as far as doing some different like feature photos and feature stories. And so that definitely helped that, you know, that photography skill grow more. So, you know, I guess since then, becoming friends with, you know, you, for example, and different people that we're mutually friends with that are photographers as well, I feel like those relationships with other photographers really catapulted me and grew me in the photography realm of things, because I'm a big people person, and I don't think if I'd had those, you know, good relationships or good friendships to enjoy shooting 8-hour wedding days or, you know, whatever it is, then I probably wouldn't have stuck around with it. But I was really lucky to, you know, become friends with you or Alex or a good friend named Levi, who I got to shoot some weddings with. But yeah, a lot of it, I think at the beginning, was doing stuff from school and then getting to second shoot weddings and events with, you know, professional photographers. And that I would say has been one of the most formative things for my photography journey. My day job and my title is technically social media manager. So I think photography has honestly been a game changer for me in that realm. I don't know if I'd be interested in social media if there wasn't, you know, this pull to photography and an aesthetic. I love the what you can do with photography as far as, you know, the vision you create, the visual you create. So I think photography has been a huge asset to my skill set, I guess, in that I don't think I would be as marketable of a professional if I didn't have photography. So
absolutely. So I guess, would it be fair to say that you're not pursuing photography as a career path per se, but you're still using your photography skills that you've acquired over the years to enhance your job in ways that wouldn't be possible otherwise?
Yeah, absolutely. I would honestly say that is 100% true. I think that's been one of the biggest things that just in job interviews, I recently switched to a new job. But that was a lot of times what I would get complimented on, if ever in an interview, was, you know, their need for a good quality or a somewhat quality photographer. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, how that was kind of the first thing that caught their eye. So, I'm not pursuing, photography as a full-time job as many of, maybe my friends are, but I think it has made me a better marketing professional, and I love second shooting with my friends. I think it's really great, and I like to, you know, do some portrait shots and that kind of thing. But I would say right now it's just I get to do social media, and photography comes in handy a lot, because a lot of times with social media you're having to create your own visuals, and obviously our world is super visually focused, and so graphics are great, and being a cool graphic designer is really cool too. But, you know, having a quality like base or person or landscape or something, I think goes a long way.
Absolutely. So I want to do something now. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I want to read you a text that you sent me in November of 2019. Is that cool?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm so nervous.
Don't be nervous. Tell me if you remember this. You said, "Do you ever hate every single photo you've ever taken?" Do you remember saying that?
I do not remember that.
Okay.
But that sounds like absolutely something that I have thought before. I can't believe I texted you that.
I know. Well, okay. So it's so funny because you texted me that, and I remember getting that text from you and just thinking, duh, don't we all do that? And then I really stopped to think about it. And I was like, wow, like that's really not a healthy habit to be in as a photographer. Like, I think we're all guilty of it in some way, but like, I know we're our own worst critics when it comes to our images, but what do you think drives those thoughts and feelings about our work?
Yeah, I mean, personally, and I always think as people who are creating something, we want our art to be meaningful or something that we like, that we're proud of. And so when it's not those things, when we're disappointing ourselves or we think we're going to disappoint somebody else, I think a lot of that comes from insecurity and insecurities that we have about ourselves just in general. But it comes out in those times when we're creating something, and photography is meaningful to us. And, you know, whether it's photography or somebody painting something, it means something to us. And so we want it to be good, and we want to have given our best. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And like, you and I obviously don't hate every shot we've ever taken. Like, we're not sitting here saying that literally, but I do think that we look at our own work through a different lens than other people would. I think there's a way to look at other photographers' work in a healthy way, but I think so many times we fall into this unhealthy comparison game that is really damaging to a lot of photographers, but especially a lot of young photographers who aren't super established yet and who aren't really thinking about the fact that, you know, they may have done 10 photo shoots at this point, but the person whose work they're looking at and thinking, man, why isn't my work like this? They've done 1,000 shoots. So it's like, you can't really compare the two to begin with. What do you think about that?
I think you're right. I definitely don't think it works when you're like, I'm a piece of trash. My work is horrible. all this negative self-talk.
Right.
It does not help. But I think you can look at photographers' work. I can look at Andy or Tyler's work and think, oh my gosh, they're so good. And, you know, use it as motivation to push yourself.
I think that as a photographer, you have to realize that everyone has a unique style, and art, especially photography, is super subjective. So like, you can take a technically bad image that people still enjoy. And that's kind of the thing around, like, you know, there's a debate about, you know, photography and art, and again, it's all subjective. There are photographs that I like that I know are technically bad. But I think beyond that, even deeper, I think it's important to know who you are as a photographer and have that confidence in your own work to say, listen, like, I may not be exactly where I want to be, but I'm going to get there. Like, I'm going to work and get to the place where I want to be.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And there's always going to be somebody better. And that's in every area of life, not just photography, but every art form, every, you know, sport, everything that we do, there's going to be a quote, somebody that's better. And so, you know, having the self-confidence, like you were saying, to be confident in your work, but then push yourself to be the next better you. So
definitely. So I want to talk a little bit about imposter syndrome, because I know that you and I both feel this way at certain points, or have felt this way in the past. And for anyone who doesn't know what imposter syndrome is, it's kind of where you feel like everything you do well is just kind of dumb luck. You kind of feel like a fraud, that even if you've made it somewhere good in your career or have booked a really nice shoot or something like that, you feel like you don't deserve it. You have a hard time accepting the fact that you might actually deserve something like this. And so I think that the way that I think I've heard it best described, is that you feel as though at any moment you're going to be found out as a fraud, like you don't belong. And
yeah.
I want to talk to you a little bit about this, because I know that we have talked about this before. Like, how have you dealt with imposter syndrome in the past?
Yeah. And actually, you know, thinking about this, you were the first person that told me what imposter syndrome was, because I remember texting you about, you know, work or like photos and that kind of thing, and explaining to you, you know, I literally feel like I suck and like this is so bad, and you know, everyone, it's just so many things I was telling you, and you were like, that's imposter syndrome. You're like, I have that too. And so I had never heard really what that was. And then here, it kind of was just a light bulb, obviously, getting to hear an actual definition about it. But people will tell me things, and like what I just said, you know, I love this that you did or something like that. And I literally don't believe them. Or I'm like, that was literally just great lighting, or,
again, like you said, like dumb luck. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, dumb luck. And so, it's weird that I catch myself not believing what people are telling me.
Yeah. No. So I felt that same exact way. Like it's really interesting too, when you really realize that that's what it is, because it's a really bad feeling, right? So you feel like the definition said, you feel like you're about to be found out at any minute. Like someone is going to be like, ha, like you should never have been here. You should never have been in this position.
Yes.
You aren't actually that talented to have made it to this point in your career or in your job or whatever. It's a feeling that like weighs on you, and it makes you feel like nothing that you do is ever going to be good enough. And it's a really bad place. I think a lot of it has to do with the amount of content that we see on the daily for photographers specifically. Like, again, we've talked about this a little bit, but you know, you see so many photos like on Instagram, even like every time I look on Instagram, I'm seeing hundreds probably of photos that are really good photos. And we're so oversaturated with seeing all this content that we're just like, well, we're not there. We're not these people. We're not taking these kinds of photos. So like, you know.
Yeah. And I just think like I think it happens in any kind of situation or circumstance. Like, I feel like my bubble has been smaller than even yours in that sense of, you know, I didn't even live in New York, or I didn't, I'm not around like a larger concentration probably of, you know, photographers or, you know, social media managers or whatever, mm-hmm. but I fall into that so much, and I can't, you know, even thinking about your situation, having lived in New York and being on Broadway, taking photos on Broadway, and the whole realm of like, New York is obviously one of the biggest cities in the world. So it's just even a higher concentration of really talented people.
Yeah. Like I felt that way when I was shooting on Broadway, even, because I'm looking at all these other Broadway photographers and I'm like, well, I'm never going to be that person. Like, I can't take those kinds of photos. Like, I really shouldn't even be doing the jobs that I'm doing. Why did I even get hired for this? I'm not talented enough to do this. And again, that's just imposter syndrome. It's not necessarily the truth. As hard as it is for me to admit, like, that's, even though that's not the truth, that's how it feels in the moment. And I'm standing next to some of the photographers who are my biggest inspirations, and I'm standing next to them shooting, and I'm like, I shouldn't be here. Like, they should be here. There's a reason that they're here. It's because they're so talented. But, you know, I didn't give myself that credit. And in those moments when I felt imposter syndrome the strongest, I wasn't thinking about, you know, the 8 years of work that I've put into photography and the thousands of photo shoots that I've done that have helped me grow and get to a point where I can make connections and show off my work and get to a point where I want to be. And I think as photographers, you need to, if you start feeling imposter syndrome. You need to remember your talent, and you need to remember how you have grown over the years and gotten to a place where you really do deserve everything that is coming to you.
And I think it's important to remember, I think it's out of maybe sometimes out of pride a little bit. You want to be the best, and I feel like pride is a hard word because it has maybe a more negative connotation, but I mean, it's out of like this place of you want to be good, you want to grow, you out of this good place of like, I want to do my best work. And, but then I think it can be combined a little bit with, oh, well, I'm not the best, or I don't think I'm the best. And it's, you know, I don't think it's a negative thing. I think we push ourselves to keep growing and, you know, be confident in our work.
No, yeah, definitely. I was reading an article about imposter syndrome earlier today, and there was a part in it that said it's not necessarily 100% a bad thing. Like you said, I mean, imposter syndrome can help you strive for perfection. You know, you're never going to be perfect, but it can help you in a way if you learn to use it in a good way and understand when it's happening. You can actually grow through having imposter syndrome. And I think that goes back to being your own worst critic. Is like, yes, that is a bad thing because you need to look at your work the way that other people view your work in a way, but you also do need to have a critical eye on your work. You always need to be growing. You should never be completely satisfied with where you are as a photographer, because there is always room for improvement. There's always room to grow. No matter how talented you are, how long you've been doing it, you can always get better. But I think you need to use both of those things wisely. You should use imposter syndrome wisely and realize when it's happening, and, you know, give yourself the grace of saying, I am not as bad as I feel like I am right now, but also use that critical eye, use being your own worst critic, and use imposter syndrome to, in a way, say, listen, I can grow, I can be better, but not push yourself down or, you know, belittle yourself or trash your own work just because you don't feel great about it in the moment.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think it can be a positive push. I think it's important to remind yourself of the benchmarks or just things that, you know, you've done or like been able to accomplish in your life. So I think that, you know, I've tried to remind myself of, you know, okay, this is what I'm telling myself in my mind. I feel like I'm not a good this or I'm not a good that. But actually, in reality, people like my supervisor or something gain nothing from telling me lies. They're not everyone's lying to me, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, like most people aren't going to just lie to your face and tell you they love your work if they don't. I mean, most people, when they tell you, when they give your work a compliment, give your photos compliments, it's because they mean it. I think that there's a lot that we just talked about that also can relate to comparing yourself to other photographers. Like, I feel like I do this all the time. Like, I will get on Instagram, I have this issue where I will get on other photographers' websites and scroll through all of their photos and just be like, wow, this photo is so good. Wow, how did they do that? Wow, this is the best photo I've ever seen in my life. I will never be this good. Like, I don't know why I do it, but I will literally sit and scroll for hours on other photographers' websites. And I mean, part of it's because photos look really nice on laptops and desktops. And so I really love looking at photos when they're not on a phone, but that's for a whole other podcast. But yeah, I feel like we compare ourselves a lot as photographers to other photographers. And one thing that I think is really important to realize, and I want to get your thoughts on this, but I feel like it's really important to remember that the work that other people are showing you is their absolute best of the best, best photos they've ever taken, you know, like on their website. They're not going to post, they've taken maybe what, 5 million photos in their career, and they're showing you their best 20. So, like, I think that's something that's really important to remember as well when you're trying to, or trying not to, compare yourself to other photographers.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I think I do that too. Like, we all do that. And just even thinking, like, I've shot, you know, second shot weddings, and even with you, like, having overshot weddings and learning not to overshoot. But, you know, picking out, if you saw through the 1,000 to 2,000 or however many photos, you know, you end up taking at a wedding or at whatever it is, of the like 1,000 photos, maybe you're sending less than 100. And right. So I think the numbers on that, you know, are pretty insane, because you're, like you said, you're sending the best of the best, and nobody sees, you know, for every 20 photos, there's one clear, or there's two clear, like, you got your aperture right, you hit, you know, everything right, you edited yeah. it right. And I totally agree. I mean, I think about my own photos, like photos that I've posted or sent people. It's like, you know, there's so much like, oh my gosh, this is so great. And I'm excited about my own photo. But then it's even just looking, I wish I could send the 20 other, you know, blurry, you know, unfocused, how I had to go in and sharpen or put in a little clarity on it, the, you know, the main focus of the shot.
Yeah. One of the things that really helped me turn around my mindset on this whole thing is, I'm not going to say who it was, but I was working with a photographer that I really respect. Like, I think their work is just phenomenal. Some of the best in their specific type of photography that I've seen. And I was working with them, and I was in Lightroom as they were culling their photos, and I saw all of those photos that they did not use. I saw all of the bad ones, all of the ones where the focus was missed, or it was just poorly composed or framed or shot or lit. And it really helped me realize, look, everybody's human. Everybody takes bad photos, and we are all showing the best of the best. And that's part of being a photographer. But sometimes when you aren't able to see behind the process for another photographer, you start to get in the mindset that you are the only person who takes 1,000 photos and ends up with 50. Like, you think you are the only person who sets up entire shots, lights, entire setups, and it ends up not working out. Like the other day, I was going back through a shoot that I did in the studio when we were in New York, and I looked at an entire section that I forgot that I had taken because I hated the way that it turned out. It took me an hour maybe to set it up, and I hated the way that the photos looked, so I never shared them. And I think it's really important to remember that every photographer does that. And just because you're not seeing those shots doesn't mean that they're not being taken and ignored or, you know, not chosen to be posted.
That's such a good thing that, you know, you were able to see. And, you know, I think about, I just moved to a new city, and I'm 16 hours away from home. And, you know, the photos I post, or, you know, that kind of thing, is me hanging out with my cousins, mm-hmm. and us in the snow, and it looks great. But actually, most days I work all day, and then I make myself dinner, and then me and my dog go on a walk, and then I might see somebody like once a week. And my life is not this big highlight reel. And so I think just it's such a connection, I think, across a lot of people's lives, not just on photography. We're showing our best, and that's not reality. And I think we need to be, you know, self-aware and, you know, open our eyes to that fact of, okay, well, this is social media, or we're just sending the best of the best, you yeah. know, because that's what, you know, people are actually really paying us for, especially in the photography world. So 100%. I think that's good to remember.
No, definitely. I think that's incredibly important because, like you said, I mean, regardless of whether you're a photographer or not, or you're just seeing your friends or family post, it's they're showing you what they want the world to see. They are sharing with you how they want their lives to be perceived. So don't forget to keep that in mind when you're looking at anybody's feed, whether it be a photographer's or just anyone else's. But yeah, I think that is super important. What do you want to talk about? Is there anything specific that you want to talk about?
Let's talk about how we both applied. I don't know if this is too soon yet, so you let me know. I feel like we both applied for a lot of jobs in our life, and I think even just this conversation we had before is like ties into how you feel about yourself, and applying for jobs is hard as a professional because you are getting rejections, or you know, I mean it just ties back to like there's somebody better. I mean, I can't say how many emails I've gotten that are like, we liked you, but you know, we found somebody who has more skills or has had more experience. But
no, that definitely doesn't help. I mean, when you are, I feel like when you're in the job hunting phase of life and you are also dealing with imposter syndrome, like it's not a good place to be because you're going to get rejected more than you're going to, you know, be accepted. Like, I mean, but that's, I feel like that's something that like actors deal with, and not to, you know, focus every single thing on Broadway, or theater, but legitimately like that's their job. Like rejection. I can't remember somebody said it, and probably 100 people have said it, but like rejection is 90% of an actor's job, is to get rejected, to put yourself out there and get rejected. Cause that's all they do. They audition, they send in self-tapes, they apply for things, and they get rejected until they don't. And so I feel like that's where imposter syndrome could really affect you, whether you are auditioning like an actor or like you and I applying for jobs and getting no or no response, or we found somebody better. Like that's a hard place to deal with too.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like you said, I think the acting, Broadway, the arts world of things is, I think that's probably on a different, even on a different level.
Yeah.
You know, I think about, you know, we've both been in seasons of life where we've been in months of job applications and like spanning into years, you know, trying to get somewhere or applying for hundreds of jobs. And I think, you know, it's not on the level of the arts in that, you know, acting Broadway sense, but I think it's definitely hard to feel like you're talented or you're even good at what you're doing. I think we tend to personalize these things in the sense of like, oh, it's us, we're the problem here, but I don't think that's how it is. And
yeah.
You know, it is always anyway. So,
yeah.
Crazy enough, these photographers, or us as photographers, or these actors, or these like theater people, or these painters, like in any area really, but like I just really think artists are, we're all just kind of in this like little bubble or this little crazy train of like, even though Broadway actors are rejected every day and they're sending hundreds and hundreds of these applications, you keep coming back to it. And I think you have to remember, and we remember the reasons and the small things that keep us going. We work these random jobs that maybe we don't care about at all, but we keep doing it. Like, and you go to, Andy Henderson goes to school in college for 4 years as a full-time student, but also a full-time other job is doing weddings every weekend and like not getting any sleep and, you know, dedicating all this time to taking pictures and editing and being better. And
no, for sure. Like
we
that
do it because we love it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly right. Like what you said about people taking jobs and other things. Like, I think that's interesting too, because I think there are some people, and I feel like I fell into this early on in my photography journey, where I felt like I had to be doing a job related to photography in order to be successful. And that's just not the case at all, because just like being an actor, you can't always expect to rely on that, on your passion to provide for you financially 100% of the time. There are people who do it. There are people who are able to do photography full time or act full time, and that's their entire job, but that's not the majority. And so me as a photographer, I was working, I was managing a photo studio when I was in New York, but my job specifically was not related to photography in the sense that I was booking people into a space who would then do photography, and I was handling all of the finances, and I was handling the cleaning of the studio. I was painting the psych wall. I was making sure people had coffee, you know, and what I was doing on the side was helping me grow creatively, which was taking shoots with people and working part-time for some companies. And I think it's important to remember that if you are not making a living on your passion, that is okay. It's okay to not be financially dependent on your passion. And it's actually sometimes an advantage not to be financially dependent on your passion, because when I was, that was when I was shooting weddings, and I just lost the creative drive for that, because I just knew that this was another paycheck and this was another way to pay my rent. And I wasn't focused as much on the art side of it because it was just another job for me. Especially now, over the last nearly year that we've been in this pandemic, hardly anyone is, you know, doing photography full time right now. You know, it's the people at the top of their game who are shooting for magazines, and the people who have been shooting consistently like that, you know, photojournalists, people like that. But like artists, you know, especially like, there are no Broadway shows open right now. And so Broadway photographers are not working on Broadway. And so I have not been financially dependent on photography in probably 2 years. So it's okay if that's not your main source of income. Just remember that. It's okay if you are not working full-time as a photographer. It's also tough to find jobs nowadays that are just photography specific. Those are few and far between. Most jobs are going to want you to be able to do a lot of different things. Social media, videography, graphic design. There are so many things that jobs are going to want you to do in order to save money. They want a multimedia guru. And so I think it's also important now, while we have the time and while we're in this kind of weird period, to be able to grow all of our skills. And whether that be taking classes on Skillshare or watching YouTube tutorials or whatever it may be, it's also important to kind of, you know, maybe pick up a skill or two during this time.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I catch myself thinking in black and white of, oh, I'm learning these skills. I'm doing this thing. I'm getting a job in, you know, I want to be a full-time photographer, but I'm getting a job in social media. I'm getting a job in, you know, marketing that's a 9-to-5. And it can feel like you're giving up on your dreams and you're not doing what you want to do. But I don't think it works that way. I think, like you said, it's a weird COVID season where jobs are, I mean, obviously they're picking back up, but it's not like it was. And it's definitely not where it can be. And so I think it doesn't mean you should, it doesn't mean you're giving up on your dreams if you, you know, pick a 9-to-5 that is social media management, and maybe it's not full-time photography, but I think, you know, trying to keep things in perspective of, a lot of people are going through this, you're not alone. And, you know, picking up different skills will make you more versatile, and it doesn't mean you're giving up on, you know, whatever else it is.
No, definitely not. You know, so many people that I know and am close friends with have become realtors, or they have taken other jobs that are not inside their specific passion. And that's it is a time right now where any job that you have is a blessing and something you should be thankful for. And I think having the ability to work, especially during a pandemic, is such a good thing that, you know, in March 2020, Kinsey and I both lost our jobs. And it was one of those things where we were like, okay, what do we do? It doesn't matter what job we're going to take, because we're going to do something in order to survive and in order to feed ourselves and in order to have a place to stay. And so, you know, we were very fortunate to be able to find other jobs. And, you know, I'm working in a warehouse right now. I am moving airplane parts. That has nothing to do with photography. But right now, that's the season I'm in. And I'm able to be creative in other ways. I'm able to do creative photo shoots at other times. So I think it's important to remember, if you're not doing photography full time, regardless of whether or not there's a pandemic, that you are not a failure. So before we go, I just want to ask, what advice would you give to a young photographer or a new photographer who is dealing with imposter syndrome or comparing themselves to other photographers? Anything like that, what would you say to them?
I think it's important to keep creating and to keep putting yourself out there, whether that's asking your best friend or somebody you know to go take pictures for an afternoon. If that's somebody asks you to second shoot with them, it's putting yourself out there, and I think surrounding yourself with people who are better than you and not being scared off by people who are more talented than you. And when I think about younger Marissa and the times that I've grown the most, it has been when I have spent time with photographers better than myself and putting in the time with those people, as far as second shooting and spending Saturdays and Sundays of weekends that I'd rather be hanging out in my apartment or spending time with, friends at brunch or dinner or something. And I think it's important to put in the work and put in the time to grow yourself and learn from other people.
Marissa, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been so much fun.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
Absolutely. So if anyone wants to follow you on socials, where can they find you?
Find me on Instagram. That's probably going to be your best bet, at Marissa, M-A-R-I-S-S-A, Pilcher, P-I-L-C-H-E-R.
Perfect. So go follow Marissa at Marissa Pilcher on Instagram. You can also follow our show at Photo Lessons by Andy on Instagram. Thanks so much, Marissa, for being here. Thank you for everyone who is listening, and we'll see you next week on Live from the Dark Room.